Blog Talk Radio.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Come on! Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw him, you would even say it close. Come on! Come on! All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, come on! Rudolph.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the war room. You got Dev,
what up, what
Kill,
up, what up?
Jimmy, PJ, and B. Austin, the hot block commander.
Give it to you how you want it in the 1 or 2 hour show that keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level. Bold with them topics, sort of like some rebels. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five doing prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. From sports medicine to sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with 5 nights at the round table. 5 Philly guys diversified and educated.
The show must go on. What up, sports fans, and Merry Christmas to all out there who celebrate. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports on that WRS Podcast Network for our first ever, in 5 years, our first ever Christmas Day episode. I'm Devin McMillan. I'm here at the round table with my homies, Jimmy the Blueprint Williams and B. Austin. We got a condensed 60-minute show for you right here on Christmas Day, but we got some great stuff for you nonetheless, so join us right now in that JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room, at War Room Sports, so you can join in the conversation there as well. You can also call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. That number, as usual, is 323-410-0012. Before we get started, of course, we got to give shout-outs and wish happy holidays to all the other great shows on the War Room Sports Podcast Network. You can listen to the network from our main site. That's warroomsports.com, or you can get there directly at wrspn.com. You'll find shows such as The Broad Street Line with Roy and Chris, The Tissue and the Tape Hip Hop Show with Phil and Survive. For all you hip hop heads out there, it's the best thing going. After Further Review, aka The Sideline Pass with the Mayor, and a whole lot of other top quality programming. So to make sure you go over to the website and check that out. You can also check the listings at fatsradio.com. That's P-H-A-T-Z radio.com for air times of all your favorite WRSPN sports shows, including our show, The War Room, which airs over there on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Fellas, what's going on? How's your holiday been so far?
What's up, beloved? I'm chilling, man. You know, just a happy holiday.
They're going to get this work.
That white man in a red suit, so I tied him up. He's in my basement. He got some hair on him, dude. He's trying to break in the crib.
That might be why the news story said it was a lot of kids without Christmas presents today. Dude, all a little tied up at the moment.
All I got to say, man, is happy Kwanzaa to everybody out there. You know what I'm saying? I ain't with the Anyway, happy holidays, everybody.
Yeah, that's why we just got to go PC and just say holidays. That encompasses everything. Everything. Yeah. But since we got a condensed version of the show right here on Christmas Day, Jimmy, why don't you jump right into it? Let everybody know what happened this week while they were out shopping on that ground.
As always, while you are on the ground, is brought to you by DirecTV. If you'd like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, which includes the NFL Sunday Ticket, go to our website, warroomsports.com. Click on the DirecTV logo and order a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. If you call yourself a sports fan, you got to have DirecTV.
Just got to.
Here's the first story I want to talk about. You know what I'm saying? Word to my brother B. Austin, the Memphis Grizzlies. They chipped in to buy a car for the intern whose car was stolen. They got my man a nice, beautiful Nissan Maxima. And my brother B. Austin got mad because they ain't copped the boy a Bentley Azure. But I thought it was a great story. I thought it was a great story nonetheless because they didn't have to do anything for this intern. And I'm pretty sure
was that a Maxima, Jim, or was that an Altima? I think it was an Altima.
All right, even if it's
that awesome. Was definitely an Altima. It was right, not a Max. Awesome, right?
I didn't see the whole thing. I saw the front. I saw the Nissan logo, and not an Altima Max would look alike these days anyway. But with that being said, I'm pretty sure Board didn't even have an Altima. Board probably had a Squadra or something. But they chipped in when they didn't have to do anything, you know what I'm saying? So I like to see stories like that nonetheless. I know B. Austin.
He probably had a 78 Pacer, and the Grizzlies probably stole it for him so they can get him out of that and put him into
exactly
something new.
They probably use it for a down payment.
Yo, yeah, B. Austin's reaction to that was crazy. So you thought they went out on him? You thought they went cheap on him, B?
Yeah, they definitely went cheap on him, and you tried to give them both some excuses, but I wasn't having it. Because then I thought about it, and I was like, look, it's 13 guys on a roster, and you figure at least 8 of them are multimillionaires, right? Vince Carter has made exactly too much money in his career.
exactly.
So he's in the nine figure range. Zach is under the 9 figure range, but he's closing in on it. Mark Gasol is probably in the middle of the 8 figure range. So I'm like, not to be counting these dudes' money, but even if all 13 put up a young 3,500, they could have caught my man a 3 series or a C class. And then
why are you going to cop? He's just an intern, so you're going to cop him a car, and he probably can't afford to make
six engines. No, he can't afford to maintain it, because if you're buying it brand new, you're getting a 4-year service pack, and they put cheap engines in the young Benzes and the young Beamers anyway, so it's the same gas that you're going to spend on an offer.
Hold up.
You're talking 4 years. What if this internship just doesn't work out? What if the dude, you know, he just doesn't become too much with his life? And then he got a car that he can't afford because they went out and bought him something that's above his means. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know.
He got the 4-year service pack. At the end of 4 years, he got to
get rid of
it.
What you going to do after 4 years? What you going to do after year 4?
Sell it for more than you can sell an Altima for.
One of the players probably owns a Nissan dealership, right? So they probably did that. That's one. Two, I don't know about this intern, man, but he may live in a situation where he shouldn't be pulling up with no nothing better than an Altima.
That's why his car got stolen in the first place, because he don't live in the right place.
Exactly. So he may live
man,
in the right place.
As much money as Zach and dark skinned Jermaine is getting in the streets, they didn't even have to touch their contract money to help my man out.
Come on, man. My man be off the one.
Jimmy helps your point out though by saying that the dealership thing, that means they even went even cheaper. They didn't pay nothing.
They probably got a small mash burn or something, man.
they chipped in to pay his taxes. Everybody chipped in to pay like $150 for plates,
man,
titles
Austin,
and plates.
Be Austin wanted him to cop him a Gotti Zion. What's the y'all of AZ? I can't even say the name of that car. It costs too expensive. A Bugatti, not a Bugatti. What do you call it? Anyway, man.
Pagani Huayra. Yes, the Huayra. Yeah, go ahead and get him
whatever the boy AZ saying in that song, Austin wanted him to cop one of them joints, man. Call out B. Austin, man. That was enough, man. Get a boy a little Austin. He was very appreciative, man, and that's all that matters.
You can tell by the way he was trying to hold back tears that his car before that was something nasty.
Exactly. He was very appreciative, and that's all that matters. I tell you what, man. Somebody give me an Altima right now, I'd be very appreciative, because I don't give a damn about a car. I just want to get from A to B. So with that being said, man, shout out to the Memphis Grizzlies, man, because they didn't have to do anything. But they looked out during this holiday season, man. I'm all about Uber these days, man. You know, if y'all ain't take Uber, y'all got to do that. That makes you feel like Michael Douglas in A Perfect Murder. You're getting money, but shout out to Uber. Anyway.
Yo, shout out to the Memphis Grizzlies for that tax break, man. Shout out to you.
Yo. They could have put some money on my man Uber's account, though, because yep, never mind. Anyway, Darko Milicic, he loses his kickboxing debut. Now, my man is Dev, like I said, he's having an identity crisis. He wants to be a kickboxer, but he's off to a slow start. So, you know, who knows, man? Who knows? What do you guys think about Darko trying to be a kickboxer?
Well, the actual match that he lost is that he got his ass kicked. And when I first heard about the story, you know, people were saying, oh, he can't even do this. I expected to watch the video and see Darko getting pummeled. But actually, the fight had to be stopped because Darko had a nasty open gash on his right shin, so they couldn't continue the fight. From what I, you know, from what I saw in a little bit of time, you know, not too much went down in the match, but you know, Darko is 7 foot, so he came out and was controlling the match a little bit with his long legs. He just, dude, I guess in the wrong spot, up his leg like all career, and there he is. And his kickboxing.
Is,
Darko can't, he can't catch a break.
Still signed, is Darko still signed to the McMillan Sports Agency? Because you definitely were looking out for him since he entered the draft.
I just wanted people to know he had game. I'm the first to tell you that there's something mental about the dude, but it's not that he couldn't play basketball. Now I know why the Pistons, Rasheed Wallace and them, used to call him the Serbian gangster. I think he probably kickboxing dudes at practice trying to kill you. But yeah, Darko can't catch a break, man.
Yo, Darko, man. Yo, cut it out, Darko. That's all I'm going to say. My only comment on this is cut it out, Darko. Just cut it out. But you listen, though. This last story, yo, is one of the most confusing things to try to, you know, make heads or tails of. I consider myself an intelligent brother. I know my man B. Austin is an educated brother from the bank, and we try to figure out this whole Daryl Strawberry story. The IRS has set to auction off the remainder of his deferred contract, which was an annuity that Daryl Strawberry had from the New York Mets. And I think that was from that was the 90s. That was his contract in the 90s, and they're actually going to auction off
$85 to $90 million.
All right, well, here's where it gets crazy. It's from 85 to 90, but Daryl Strawberry didn't pay taxes in 87 to 90. So he owes taxes. He got divorced. His wife was given, you know, a settlement in a divorce. She's in bankruptcy. He went through bank. Yo, so you got bankruptcies. You got the IRS, you got an annuity from the Mets, you know, 20 years ago. It's all kinds of craziness, but the bottom line is the IRS is auctioning this off. So there's a chance that a fan of Daryl Strawberry can collect his contract, yo.
All right. So here's what I learned about it. And it's weird because, yeah, we're going to have to try to make sense of this. Like you said, the contract was from 85 to 90. It was for $7.1 million, but nearly 40% of his $1.8 million team option in 1990, 40% is put into with 1% annual interest rate. I'm not sure why they did that. Might have been because of, you know, what Daryl used to do. So they figure he would need this money later on in life, kind of like the AI annuity that he's getting. But like Jimmy said, on the 20th of January, they're going to auction off the right to collect the remaining amount on this contract, which is about $1.28 million. And they said the bid cannot be any less than $550,000. So basically people are going to be trying to invest like 500 grand or more to get back $1.28 million. It's very weird.
Yeah, it's an annuity. They're making a lump sum.
Jimmy's trying to figure out with the auction and all the divorce and the taxes and all that. I'm trying to figure out why they deferred this in the first place. I think I know why, because he's Daryl Strawberry. But
Well, I know why, Dev. It has nothing really to do with him being Daryl Strawberry per se. This is like something that the Mets used to do. Like, it's their way of playing financial gymnastics.
Was the Mets the team that was still paying? Was it Bonilla?
Bobby Bonilla.
Bonilla.
Yeah, that's the Mets. That's the Mets.
Oh,
the
okay,
Mets
so this was just their thing.
Yeah,
right.
The Mets would rather pay you $50 million over 50 years than pay you $10 million over 3 years. So in their logic, they'll agree to pay you the $50 million over 50 as opposed, because it's really the time value of money. It's the net present value of the dollar today versus the net present, post value of the dollar tomorrow. So to them, it makes more sense to stretch it out, because they figure we're going to be here. We ain't going nowhere. So we'd rather pay you tomorrow, you know, and then have you pass away. Because I guess what they really figure is if you don't pay attention to the contract properly and you don't have your attorneys write a clause in there where it pays you posthumously, then when you die, you're not going to get that 50 anyway. So they've stretched out a lot of contracts. And it's really a commonplace thing, not just the Mets. it's commonplace in sports across the board. The NBA does it. Michael Dickerson, y'all will probably remember him.
How much do you think they were betting on Daryl Strawberry possibly passing away before this was over?
Yeah, they were figuring we could pay him $100 million over 30 years, and he won't get to it. So,
and shout out to his daughter acting like a thot on loving hip hop New York right now, moving across the country for a dude that don't like her.
But also, these contracts are set up so even if they do pass away, they have to pay out to the family. These are guaranteed. The most famous one,
but because of the tax obligation, the IRS is saying that the family doesn't really have a right to it because he owes so much in taxes.
That's the Strawberry case. But I'm talking about in general the way the Mets have done it. Like the most famous one was Bobby Bonilla, because in 2000 the Mets owed him about $5.9 million, and the agreement they made was they pay him $1,193,000 25 times as opposed to paying him the 5.9 they owed him. So basically, Bonilla flipped $5.9 million into $29.8 million. So his payment started in 2011, and he gets $1.2 million per year up until 2035.
That's a great deal.
He flipped $5.9 million into 30.
Yo, you can't get that kind of return. No, man. But listen, my thing is, this is what the Mets have been known to do, the difference between Bonilla and Strawberry. And Strawberry got caught up in all kinds of other stuff, such as IRS debt, divorce, and what have you. And the one thing that you could take from this.
DEA cases.
All kinds of stuff. One thing you can take from this, anyone listening to this, is, yo, Uncle Sam is going to get his, so don't even try it. Like, yo, you can get over on a lot of people, but there's one person you can't get over on, and that's Sam. Sam is going to get his regardless. And that's all I got to say, man. Dev, yo.
Sam,
Who's having a birthday, brother?
No doubt. And today's birthdays, as usual, brought to you by Digital Extreme Technology. Do you or your business need a custom website? Well, for dynamic, professional, and most of all, affordable custom website solutions, you need Digital Extreme Technologies. No need to break the bank for an effective online presence. Top quality, results-driven websites at incredibly affordable prices. Financing options are available as well. So visit digitalextremetech.com or call 267-205-4203. And for discounted rates, be sure to tell them War Room Sports
sent you.
It's my
birthday. Yay!
All right. For today's birthdays, first and foremost, we got to give a birthday shout out to Jesus Christ. I think Jesus is about 2,047 years old today. Is my math correct, fellas? Because if he died at age 33, and it's 2014, I just figure he might, you know, he around 2,047 years old.
All I'm gonna say is this, man. Like, yo, there's so many different ages. If you study, but you know, R.I.P. Horace.
And
Jesus was big.
And
but I ain't getting into all that.
And if you study, it's even debatable whether December 25th was really Jesus' birthday as well.
We're not gonna get into that.
That's why I said I don't even
want to
get into all that, man. I'm not
going to
get into that.
Don't have sheep in the fields in December, man.
Either way, man.
That's all I'm saying, man. Let's move on.
Either way, man. Happy 2047th birthday, Jesus. Eric Gordon.
Boy, winning in history.
Yeah, Eric Gordon. I'm trying to cut y'all off for y'all get us in trouble. Eric Gordon, shooting guard, turns 26. One of y'all favorite offensive linemen of all times, guard from the Philadelphia Eagles, who likes to get his Michael Phelps on, Sean Andrews, turns 32 on Jesus's birthday. Ricky being Ricky, third person talking, base stealing, baseball hitting, Ricky Henderson turns 56 years old. Shout out to him. The great Miami Dolphins running back from their undefeated team. They actually had a three-headed backfield that year. Larry Zonka turned 68, and Ken Stabler turned 69 today. So we'd like to give a nice war room salute to all of these folks on their birthdays. Like we said, including Jesus. Happy birthday, JC.
It's my birthday. Yay!
All right,
shout out to Santa Claus. I'm sure it's his birthday today, too.
Yo, I ain't got no more comments, yo, because y'all don't hear my opinions. It'll get us kicked off everything.
Santa Claus do too much work for this to be his birthday. Like, who does that the night before their birthday? Who flies around the world? Like, I don't know.
Man, he only work one day a year.
I think Santa getting money.
Y'all mean?
Santa getting money though. That's true because he doesn't really do much at the crib. You know, all the little people, you know, do everything that need to be done at the crib.
Dwarfs. You got dwarfs, elves, and midgets.
Santa got the North Pole industrial complex up there. He got slavery.
This is the like most non-PC Christmas Day radio show ever in the history of life. All right, so I'm gonna let you guys know how y'all can get in touch with us real quick, man. So these guys can cool off. Y'all can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, and inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us, info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise. Click the blog tab to read our latest sports articles on the All's Fair in Sports and More blog. Shout out to the new writers we have there. Then you can click the respective icons and tabs to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, which now you can subscribe to the War Room Sports Podcast Network iTunes podcast and get all of our shows. Watch our videos and webcasts at warroomsportstv.com. You can listen to the network at wrspn.com, and you can download our free War Room Sports mobile app so you can get everything I just mentioned right there on your own device. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To enter the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't have one, if you don't want one, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click follow so you can get updates and reminders about the show. Like this week, when we decided to do a show at a special time. You would know that because you would have gotten the reminder. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room during the show. To call in and speak with us, dial the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. That number is 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you already listened from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk.
Hi, Peter King with the MMQB here, and you're listening to The War Room at the War Room Sports Podcast Network.
All right, man, this is just going to be a day of hot topics. So we're just going to talk about, you know, a few things that's going on in sports this week, the five NBA games that are going on today. But hot topics, as usual, brought to you by
Audible. If your schedule is too hectic to read as much as you want, try audiobooks. Kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you have to do is visit Audible. That's audibletrial.com/warroomsports. They have over 150,000 audiobooks. I mean, everything from biographies, sports stories. If you're in the business books, I listen to or read all those things. Right now I'm reading The E-Myth Revisited, which is a business book. So anyway, go get a free book, regardless of what kind of books you're into, audibletrial.com/warroomsports. They even have Ratchet Hood novels. So anything you're into, you can find it Audible.
Be more careful. All right, so and shout out, happy holidays to Fred Perdue of College Football Extra. He's actually not going to join us today because we're doing a special bowl season show tomorrow. So he's going to come talk to you guys and give all his predictions and previews and analysis of all the bowl games coming up in college football. So look forward to that tomorrow. Like we said, if you subscribe to the page, click follow on that Blog Talk page, you'll know exactly what time that's going to happen. But, you know, if you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, wherever, you'll find out. We're not exactly sure what time that's going to be. But keep an eye out if you're a college football head. Fred Perdue, collegefootballextra.com. All right, real quick, let's talk about a few NFL topics that are near and dear to us. This is a Christmas Day episode. This is a special episode. So, that's, you know, we don't talk about our teams that much. I'm sure a lot of people out there would beg to differ, but they, I don't know. They're just crazy. Before we get into Jimmy's Broncos, though, let's talk about B. Austin's Philadelphia Eagles. They blew a game to the lowly Washington professional football team last week that basically, well, that playoff hopes
because the Dallas Cowboys went and blew out the Indianapolis Colts. B. Austin, what happened? Why did this team choke? Why, in a division that many people thought they would run away with when the season started, why are they on the outside looking in with the door locked and not able to get in at the current moment? What's up with your team?
Well, I'm going to give you four names, and I'm going to rank them in order of guiltiness and responsibility for the loss. First and foremost, Bradley Fletcher. Secondly, Mark Sanchez. Third, Terry Williams. Fourth, Chip Kelly. And fifth, Billy Davis. Those are the reasons, gentlemen. Those are the reasons. Bradley Fletcher, we don't have to talk much about. I mean, the tape kind of speaks for itself. I actually am not upset with Bradley Fletcher at all, not in the least, because he was put in a situation where he could not win. I mean, he's just not athletically talented enough to start at left corner in the National Football League. It's not his fault. If you play someone that can't read in a position where they have to read a speech in front of thousands, what do you think is going to happen? If you give a man, you know,
well, I can tell you what's going to happen.
Murray hit a little lane.
Terry Williams, on the other hand, is a different case, and I'm ready to give him a rumble. And so if he's listening, if someone is able to get this to him, and I'm not saying that I'm going to win that. I believe that being a tough guy isn't so much about whether or not you beat your opponent, but it's the willingness to stand in the ring. And I'm willing to stand in the ring with Kerry.
I'll rock him in his face, stab his brain with his nose bone.
Terry Williams has no discipline, and him being in someone's face and being able to express himself is more important to him than the team winning. And
First of all, it's crazy that he's going on Kerry, because that's not even one of the four names that he named. No, he named Fletcher, Sanchez. Fletcher, Sanchez, Chip Kelly, and Billy Davis.
No, he didn't say Sanchez. He said Kerry Williams.
Yo, all right, we're
I
going
to Kerry Williams. And then I said Sanchez. I said five.
No, you said four.
All right,
we all Sanchez
is also put
money on it.
Sanchez is also culpable in this. He just shouldn't be starting on a regular basis. We didn't have anybody else to go to. So it's kind of like, is it Sanchez's fault? Is it not his fault? It is his fault.
Sanchez.
My man has 103 turnovers in 70 starts. 103 turnovers in 70 starts.
Well, let me get my quick opinion, man. My quick opinion is this. I think that it's primarily that secondary, and you name most of them, but Fletcher. Like, because even when the Eagles aren't playing well, even with Sanchez at quarterback, they still be putting up 30 points, like, on bad days. But the fact of the matter is, yo, that secondary is atrocious. Like, yo, there has to be someone on that roster better than Fletcher. DeSean Jackson burned him so many times, and he wasn't even putting moves on him. He was running straight. I've never seen anything like that. Like, he didn't even, like, shake him or nothing. He ran straight. He literally ran straight. And dude's footwork is completely terrible. Like you said, the athleticism. I don't know how he's a starter in the league based upon watching him play this season. And I watched every Eagles game, and I'm like, yo, how is he a starter in the league? He's a good guy. Maybe he's a smart guy. Maybe he can play special teams. But he can't start at cornerback in this league just watching him play. There has to be somebody on the bench better than that.
Yeah, I'm with Jimmy. It has to be some hungry dude on special teams that could have showed more than that. You know, just off hunger alone, you're gonna take some bad ones. But this dude, it's a constant thing. And like Jimmy said, DeSean Jackson, first of all, should have had two touchdowns in that game. Both of those passes were not good. He was underthrown both times. If he doesn't have to wait for the ball, slow down and go make a play to catch the ball. Like, he's scoring twice. But
yeah, like when you go back to Mark Sanchez, I agree with that as well, Jimmy, in saying that when the offense is clicking, especially because since he's been in there, the running game seems to have improved. And, you know, they can still put enough points up to threaten teams.
Exactly.
I may disagree with you a little bit. Where the disconnect lies is, you know, because you've been saying lately, you put up 24, 27 points, you should, you know, win the game. I think the NFL is gone away from that because it's so offensive driven these days. I think it takes a consistent, you know, 30 points if we're playing against good teams, especially to win those games. But the Eagles really haven't beaten any good teams this year. They beat the Cowboys once and they beat Indianapolis before they got their stride. But any other good team, this team didn't beat. So
the Redskins ain't good though.
Oh yeah. No doubt. But I'd venture to say that this team was overrated from jump anyway. You know, they go 10-6 last season in Chip Kelly's rookie year. So the expectations of the fans went sky high, as it usually does with everything that they do. I think Nick Foles going down is bigger than a lot of people think. You know, there were a lot of people on that Mark Sanchez bandwagon, and you know, he basically Denny Greened everybody.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
Mark Sanchez is who we thought he was. I think he's a capable backup, but if he has to play for a long stretch during a season, especially a stretch when the games are very, very important, that's when I think you see why Mark Sanchez has the reputation that he has.
I don't think Sanchez is the answer. I also don't think that he was playing his best ball before he got hurt in Nick Foles. But I just didn't see that as the main problem, if that makes any sense. Like,
I don't think it was anywhere near
He obviously can't start in this league, but I, like, just to answer the original question in terms of what happened, like, yo, that secondary fell apart. Like, I just never seen anything like this. Like, yo, they could have had Tom Brady at quarterback, and they would have lost them games because, yo, they can't stop nobody.
Jim, they lost the Cardinals game because they let somebody get deep on a play where a team was desperate to get deep late in the game. Like, it was an all-season thing. It's just glaring. And the crazy part about it is I had them winning against Washington, but I still thought they were going to have trouble getting into the playoffs because I didn't think they were going to do well in this upcoming game against the Giants because Odell Beckham is going to probably just place his manhood on the helmet of Bradley Fletcher or whoever they have out there because there's rumors that, you know, they might finally sit him down too little too late. But I thought they would have trouble with the way Eli Manning forces the ball to Odell Beckham and the way he's balling right now. I think he would have destroyed
this. That may help them because when you watch the teams play against the Eagles, they, like, look to see where Fletcher is, and that's where they're going regardless of who the receiver is.
Mm-hmm.
So all the Eagles have to do is, like, you know, don't put him on Odell Beckham because you're right. Eli forces the ball to Odell. He don't care who's open. It's like, yo, where's boy?
Yeah. In the words of Devin McMillan, yo, Odell Beckham is going to take a poop in someone's helmet ear hole. He's going to take a poop in the ear hole, man. It's going to happen. Sanchez, you know what, Jimmy? I'm going to go back to Sanchez, and I'm going to put a little bit more of the blame on Sanchez because not only do we have to consider the turnovers in that offense, pace that he plays and the nature of him being so frenetic and bouncing around and not seeing. Yo, Sanchez doesn't know what he's looking at, and he misses a lot of throws, and that's something that doesn't get brought up in the national media much. But if you watch.
I definitely think that Nick Foles is the better option, but with the way Sanchez missed throws and stuff like that, really I can say he just came in and was an extension of how Nick Foles was playing in the first place. I think where they differ is where they were turning the ball over and when, what point of the game. Like Nick Foles would do a lot of things early, mid-game, basically look like Eli Manning, you know, get battered around, play bad, but he bounced back. I think he's mentally tougher than Sanchez. When Sanchez gets in a little bit of trouble,
He has the head down. He's you know, he's sulking a little bit on the sidelines and on the field at times. Yeah, that's the difference, I think, between when he struggles versus when Nick Foles was struggling this season. But from what Nick did last season, you know, I still think he should get a little bit more leeway for struggling. He was in essence a second year quarterback, even though he's in his third year. And he didn't even come into this season with enough games to have a full year as a starting quarterback. I think fans expected too much. And even though he made mistakes, the team was still 6-2, you know, under his leadership. And they don't want to give him credit for that. But at the same time, they had a couple of comeback wins. They also had some like I said, some times where he had to bounce back. In that Washington game, he got destroyed on that hit, came back, bounced back, you know, played well down the stretch of that game. So, I think it's a lot of credit that people are taking away from him, and everybody's hollering, Mariota this and Mariota that.
Conversation.
Yeah, it would be so stupid for them to try to make a move to get Mariota.
Well, let me just weigh in on that. Here's my thing. I agree with what you said in terms of him just being an extension of Foles, because I don't know whether Foles is the answer or not. I think it's too early to make that decision, but he wasn't playing good football this year. Like, he did struggle at times. And that's why I said that, you know, to answer the question, it was more the defense than the offense, because I don't think Sanchez is – everybody knows he's not the starting quarterback. But
– everybody didn't know that first.
In terms of what made this
everybody,
team –
everybody
loves the backup quarterback. They just do. The backup quarterback's always the most popular guy, unless you have, like, Brady, Manning, or Breeze – or Rodgers. Every backup quarterback's popular. But with that being said, I think that that secondary was so atrocious that he was worse than Nnamdi and even Stir-Fry. Stir-Fry wasn't this bad. Demetrius Stir-Fry was not as bad as Fletcher has been.
He wasn't.
Well, Nnamdi was bad. Nnamdi, his name even comes up in that conversation because of the expectations and how much of a splash it was to get him. But no, he was in no way as bad as dude. Let's move on a little bit to Jimmy's Denver Broncos, man. They look a little shaky down the stretch of this season. They're still 11-4, so shaky is a relative term. But they laid an egg Monday night against the Cincinnati Bengals. Peyton Manning had a terrible game, 28 for 44, 311 yards, 2 touchdowns, but 4 interceptions and a loss to the Bengals, whose defense is coming back around and looking like what we thought they might have been earlier in the season. Jimmy, are you worried at all, like, as a fan going into the playoffs, or do you think this is better than how, you know, they played the season out last year and went into the playoffs without much of a challenge, and it came back to bite them?
I gotta keep it 1 million, yo. I won my fantasy league this week because they played so bad, and because I was playing against TJ. I was literally rooting against my own team on Monday night.
They already in the playoffs. That's whatever.
Yeah, which is one of the reasons why I hate fantasy football, because it oftentimes it makes me do that. And that's one. Two, after the last two seasons, I wouldn't even say last season, I'm still pissed about the Baltimore game, which was 2 years ago. Like, that hurt more than anything ever. So I haven't got over that. So, like, in terms of expectations, I told you guys all offseason, the regular season doesn't mean anything to me. It really just doesn't. The last two seasons, we had, like, the best record in the league in expectations of winning the championship, and it didn't happen. So, honestly, I'm indifferent. Our season doesn't start until the playoffs start, because we've went in as the best team, as the hottest team, and it hasn't worked out. So let's just see what happens this time. I do think we are struggling. A lot of it is finding a running game. Like, when we found the running game with C.J. Anderson, we stopped, you know, tossing the ball over the field. Now, Julius Thomas is injured. He's not healthy, I should say. But if you notice, it's like we're running the ball so much that Peyton never gets into a rhythm. So I don't think they figured out a way to use the running game to set up. Yeah, they haven't found that balance yet. It's like when Peyton's able to toss it damn near every down, he gets into a groove and our offense is scary. But they're trying to find a way to balance that running game, because it is successful. But it's like, you know, I don't know, maybe because Peyton is 80 years old, like, he's out of rhythm when they ask him to throw the ball these days. So
I have a silver lining for the whole thing, because I do sometimes, like, I'm superstitious when it comes to a lot of things. Like, anytime I've had teams just cruising into the playoffs, making it look easy. Like, I'm always nervous about, you know, being a fan from Philadelphia. You have a right to be, because it always works out the way you think it's going to work out. Right. So I think this may be better for the Broncos. Like, you're being challenged. You know that it's not going to be easy sledding, so you're not going to put your guard down. I think this was an experiment the last few weeks with them trying to establish a running game so they can go into the playoffs maybe with some kind of game plan of balance. Maybe, you know, it's just something they're not showing us now. I'm not saying that they're trying to throw games or anything, but they're trying to see, okay, can – yeah, no, not saying that type of thing, but trying to see if they can get this going, see if they can win games on the ground just in case you get into the playoffs and, you know, the receivers and Peyton Manning are struggling. You have to see if you can do something else. So I think these last few weeks have been them actually doing that. Now it's like what you said, Jimmy, can they balance it? Like, can, you know, when the playoffs
are – That's the whole key, is can they figure it out? I don't think they figured it out yet.
I agree with both the points that you guys are making. It's like, one is I think that Peyton passes the ball so much that it is a rhythm thing. It's always been a rhythm thing with him. And when it's a rhythm thing and it's a finesse game, then it's a matter of him making sure that he has all his toys, the guys that he's dependent on, Julius Thomas, Demaryius Thomas, Sanders are kind of his – that's the triumvirate that he depends on in the passing game. With Thomas being injured, Thomas can't even run a route right now. I'm kind of wondering why he's out there and not Jacob Tammy, and let him get healthy kind of going into the playoffs. C.J. Anderson is very impressive to me because he gives the Broncos something that they don't typically have, or they didn't have with even with Knowshon. Knowshon ball for y'all. But he wasn't really able to take a pounding in the hole pause and come out and still be able to get you 7 yards after contact or those type of things. So I think they know that they can go back to Peyton passing the ball 47 times a game. But I think they realize that there's a strong possibility that in the playoffs they will run into that defense where if they're totally dependent, it won't work. So they're trying to find that balance.
It's such a rhythm with him, and because Peyton has a little bit of that too. When things aren't like running smooth, like he got a little bit of a front runner in him as well. Because he started to make mistakes the last couple of weeks that, you know, rookie quarterbacks doing, throwing off your back foot.
Yeah.
Like just doing,
I think
just doing,
he presses.
Like,
yeah, he presses once
he
gets
presses.
In trouble.
He has an ability to press when things aren't, like, you know, if the offense is rolling and he's in a rhythm, he's probably the most deadliest quarterback there is. But then he has that side of him that's always been there since even Tennessee, where he starts to press and just, like, you know, regresses and throws off his back foot and makes bad reads and things like that. So I'm interested to see how they'll get this together. The only good thing about, like, these past three seasons is we've been able to dominate the division and be better than the Chiefs and Raiders. And speaking of the Chiefs, we have a caller on the line. We got the homie Savad from the Tissue and the Tape podcast on the War Room Sports Podcast Network. So let's bring him on real quick. Savad, happy holidays, good brother. Happy Kwanzaa.
Yeah, happy holidays, fellas. What's going on?
I'm not telling you, man.
I just wanted to just chime in real quick, just listening to the show as always. And you guys do a wonderful job. And Jimmy, I was so glad to see the Broncos take that L. I didn't know what to do, man. Being a Chiefs fan and, you know, Peyton Manning being 13-1, including the playoffs versus my Kansas City Chiefs, is just anytime I get to see him, you know, struggle, it's always a joy for me. So happy holidays on that to you too, man.
Well, let me ask you a question. As a Chiefs fan, right, what do you think about your team after they came out like gangbusters last year with Andy Reid into the first year? Obviously, they played a terrible schedule. But what do you think about the future of your team? I mean, your quarterback can't throw a touchdown to a receiver.
They're perennial 8-8, 9-7 team. You know, just based off of having a third place schedule next year, they'll be in the running to win 10 games. I think we have the NFC North. So, you know, I mean, it's a mediocre team.
What do you guys need to get to the next level, though?
We just need just some dogs, as they say, some killers, man. You know, we got some. For as much as Tom Bahali is a good guy, I mean, he's a good player. He's a good guy as well. We just don't have those guys that, you know, gonna go out there and, you know, get a DUI or, you know, slap somebody around.
Yo, y'all need players that get a DUI.
But we just need some guys that just have some.
Yeah, that's the first time I've ever heard anything like that. We need dudes that possibly get a DUI.
Yeah, you know, just some distraction dudes on the team, man. You need guys
need
like that, man.
Some of the Detroit Lions players.
It's all about the U. You need some players from the U.
You need some guys like that, man. We got a bunch of nice guys, and when they lose, they say, oh shucks. Well, we gave our best effort.
We tried.
You got to get rid of Dwayne Bowe. Dwayne Bowe been overrated since Overrated came out.
Yeah.
See, Bielsa been waiting for him to not do anything, because he used to say that when Dwayne Bowe was all right. So
here's my thing. You guys need a bunch of players that play for the Detroit Lions, because as a team, you see what happened this past week? They tried to break my man's ankle.
Yeah, he's terrible. That guy.
Dominic Riola got a problem.
Yeah.
I'm saying he played with, you know. I mean, he got his example from Ndamukong Suh. He used to stomp
that's
people.
What I'm saying. Like, yo, so that's what y'all need some dirty. I got you. But what do you think about Alex Smith?
Yeah. Alex Smith is robbing the bank with no gun and ski mask. He's getting $17 million a year to check down five times before he throws the ball. He, like you said with the Dennis Green clip, he is who we thought he was. Andy Reid is in the business of not losing games versus winning them. So he is a perfect quarterback.
You know, we know that. We know that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, man. You know,
I just wanted to say happy holidays and keep doing what you're doing. Looking forward to all the things you guys got going on.
You too. And everybody, make sure you check out Survivor and his partner, Phil, on Tissue and the Tape. On the WRSPN Podcast Network. That's WRSPN.com. Just look for Tissue and the Tape. If you're a hip-hop head, you will thank us for the recommendation. All right, man. We holler at you.
Happy holidays, brother.
All right, man. Keep up the good work, guys.
All right, peace. You
too. Tissue and the Tape.
We have an excellent show, man. Check that out.
That's the first time I heard that, and I actually think it's hilarious, but it's some truth to that. He said, we need a dude that possibly a DUI.
they need some football thugs, man. We need some. All right, let's talk a little bit about because the NBA is big on Christmas Day. We got five games on the docket, but before we do that, you know, we have to still give our shout out to the NBA Players of the Week, and that's one Al Horford of the Atlanta Hawks and LaMarcus Aldridge of the Portland Trail Blazers. So, two pretty good power forwards in this league. Horford plays a little center at times as well. But Horford led the Hawks to a 3-0 week. Very good week, you know, because they got wins over the Bulls, the Cavs, and the Rockets. So this wasn't 3-0 against the Sixers, Celtics, and Magic. You know what I'm saying? He scored 18.3 points per game, 6.7 rebounds, 5 assists, 1.7 blocks and 1 steal per game, and he shot 60% from the floor. So shout out to Al Horford. Like, his numbers weren't gaudy, but he put up numbers in every category. He put up numbers in every category and helped them beat three pretty good teams. LaMarcus Aldridge led the Blazers to a 4-0 week, 2 wins over the Spurs. So shout out for that. Win over the Bucks and a win over the Fly Pelicans. Aldridge led the West. I'm sorry, he was 6th in the West in scoring, 26.3 points per game, 14.3 rebounds, 2.2 steals, and he had a 32-16 rebound, 5 steals, and 2 block game and triple overtime against the Spurs in one of those two wins this week. So shout out to Al Horford and LaMarcus Aldridge for being your NBA Players of the Week. One thing before we talk about the Christmas Day games, or at least give our picks on what's going to happen in these games, Josh Smith was waived by the Detroit Pistons on Monday, and he signed a couple of days later after clearing waivers. He signed with the Rockets. Do you think adding Josh Smith will do anything to improve the Rockets' chances in the West? We already saw the Mavericks get Rajon Rondo, so now you add Josh Smith to the Rockets. Is this a whoop the damn do, or is this something to talk about?
Meanwhile, the East is
more than a whoopty.
They're just taking all the players from the East. He said, meanwhile, the East
is more than a whoopty. It's more than a whoopty, but it's kind of like, what Josh Smith are you going to get? Are you going to get an unpowerful forward who's going to stay between 18 and 23 feet and chuck up jumpers that he can't possibly make to the tune of 10 to 15 attempts a game? Or are you going to get Josh Smith that does his job, crashes the boards with tremendous athleticism, plays defense, locks up, helps out? It's all dependent upon his attitude and how he decides to approach the game. Because in Josh Smith's heart, he has Antoine Walker disease. In his heart, he wants to be a two or a three, and God didn't give him that. But he doesn't choose to accept it, so he tries to play on the perimeter. And the problem with the Rockets is the Rockets will let anyone shoot a three. They don't care who you are or what your skill set is. Go ahead and stand out there and chuck it up, and the only person that can be in the paint is what's the boy's name?
Howard, Dwight Howard. And speaking of him,
yeah, that dude.
I've been in a lot of conversations this week where, you know, the main topic was how close he and Dwight Howard are as actual friends. So they're thinking, like, Dwight might not have it in him to tell the dude that he's doing the wrong thing, because Josh Smith is very talented, but he is probably the most frustrating player in the NBA because of what you said. Like, he thinks he's Dirk, and he doesn't have that kind of a jump shot. He can do so much more, but he chooses not to because he wants to stand out on the perimeter and, like you just said, launch shots that he can't possibly make. So it could be a good dynamic if they're the type of friends who can, you know, if they're like us, we can tell each other, you know, what we're doing wrong, or, you know, we're not afraid to criticize each other. But if you got those type of friends who are just afraid of any type of confrontation, he's just going to let him go out there and do it. And he's probably going to think he's entitled to do it. This is my homie's team. You know, this is how we played together back in the day. Like, I don't know how it's going to go down.
Here's the thing, Dev, I agree. Only time will tell. Dwight doesn't take me as the kind of guy that criticizes his friend. He takes me as the other kind of guy. Like, you know, we're just friends. Yeah. I'm not going to say anything, but you never know. But
It's okay. Shoot some more. The next one will go in. And if it doesn't, I'll get a rebound. And Josh, I'll make sure that I pass it out to you. We're friends. I'll make sure you get it, and you can shoot again.
I do like the phrase "unpowerful forward" to describe him, because that's pretty much what it is. But it's interesting dynamic, because when you look at the Rockets, they rely so heavily on analytics that they pretty much run a system where they want to shoot more threes and twos. Like, that's what they do. So I don't know how he'll fit in with that, because like B. Austin said, they'll let anyone shoot the three, and that's strategic. Like, you know, if you look it up, the Rockets have this whole thing where it makes more sense to shoot threes than twos because the percentages, and you know how the analytics guys just take stuff way
and
too far.
And it's wrong.
Kevin McHale going to have to say, anybody can take a three but you. You stop it.
Yeah, but, and
Kevin McHale doesn't strike me as that type of dude either. He doesn't remind me of the type that'll get after cats. I don't know that to be fact. But, man, yo, Josh, the worst thing in the world that happens with Josh is that 1 out of 10 games where he does have a good shooting night, because that's going to mean for 20 more games he's going to chuck it, because he's thinking his Jay is finally coming around.
I have the opposite thought of Kevin McHale. Like I said, I don't know, just as you said you didn't know, but I think he looks to me like a dude who would, you know, get on his players. But it just seemed like he would come in the media in front, like he's a super nice guy. But look, we got less than 4 minutes left, so we're going to talk. I mean, we're just going to give our picks and just briefly state what we think might happen in these NBA games coming up today. The first game is at noon. But before we do that, I'd like to give a shout-out to my Philadelphia 76ers. Back-to-back wins for the first time since, like, the 82-83 championship team.
Oh, we balling.
Oh, we balling, man. I told y'all, dude is a good coach. He don't have anything to work with, and you know that's on purpose right now. But
I don't even know how you make that determination, but I'm with you.
Yo, you know why? Because I could be falling for the gift of gab. You know, I usually don't fall for talk, but I've watched a lot of videos because he's very open to the media, and I've watched a lot of videos where he talked about his theories and you know his strategy and stuff like that. And I think his message, I can at least say that, I think his message is a good one, and I think it's the right direction for the team. Now, how he applies it and how he is with the team, I don't know that. So maybe I can't say good coach, but I think good direction. Like, you know,
we need to get him on the show because like he will interview.
He'll interview
with anybody.
I've seen him do like three hands.
And Chase.
What'd you say, Jeff?
He might be the greatest coach ever, but when it's all said and done, like, our man is like messing up his lifetime record right now. This is one of them things where you say you have to put things in context. He might win 5, 10 championships later, but when they look back at his record, they're going to be like, yo, but he won one of them Lenny Wilkins records.
That's why I'm thinking, like, they must have promised this dude the world because you step into a situation where you know that they're tanking. So you know your record is going to be trash for the first 2 or 3 years. Like, he must know that, you know, his leash must be, like, 10 years long at the very least. But
all right, well, let's talk about this. I know that one of the first things you talk about is the Knicks, and I just want to give the War Room stat of the week. It's not really a stat, but it is a stat. The Sixers and Knicks have damn near the same record at this point, but the Knicks are paying Carmelo and Phil Jackson more than the entire Sixers organization.
Damn!
Like, look at the salary cap. What they're paying Carmelo and Phil Jackson, like they can pay the entire Sixers organization, including the interns who drive Altimas.
And that's your War Room stat of the week. And y'all, I'm telling y'all, there's a lot of people out there who just they don't believe in the.
We gotta make a tank job.
Look at that stat, because the Knicks are obviously trying. They just suck.
Think about this, right? The Sixers are trying
Sixers
to like
trying to lose. And they do a great job.
The Knicks are spending, you know, the Knicks are spending money and have the same result.
Yeah, exactly. They're trying to win. Like they have the like top 2 or 3 payroll in the league. They're trying to win. They just stink. All right, man. So the Knicks, what do you guys think? Washington is visiting to Knicks today. Visiting the Knicks today. How do you guys see that playing out? A lot of the superstars in this 5-game stretch today are kind of banged up. Some won't play. I'll tell you who that is when we get to their games. But what do you think, B? Washington going to do what?
I got my man John Wall, who will be the best point guard in the world within 2 to 3 seasons.
All right, we ain't got that much time. I'm going to play Washington.
Yeah, well, look, Durant is out versus the Spurs. Bosch is likely out against the Cavs. Like, you kind of want to, even if you don't think the game is going to be good, you want to see that just because it's Wade and Bosch playing against LeBron. But Bosch is Boshing it, and he might not be out, which would be like his 7th or 8th straight game miss. He and Dwayne Wade are basically taking turns in the infirmary. So that's why that team is not reaching its potential right now. Then you have the Lakers who are going to play Chicago in the 8 p.m. game, and then Golden State taking on the Clippers, which should be an exciting game. It's always exciting between them because they genuinely 10:30 clip. So everybody, you know, just if you're a basketball head, just look forward to a great day of basketball. I'm about to be on the road, so I'm going to miss a lot of the early game, but I should be in my seat.
To get out of here anyway, gentlemen. Thanks for joining us in the War Room, good people, for our first ever Christmas Day episode. Shout out and Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to everybody, those in the chat room, Facebook, Twitter, the callers who did call in. Shout out to Savad and those we didn't get to. We apologize. It's a short show. Special thanks to everybody who supports us throughout the entire year. We definitely appreciate all of it. Tune in next week, same time, same place, live right here or on demand at the WRS Podcast Network, for another special episode on New Year's Day. No Thursdays off. Like, hashtag no Thursdays off. We'll recap 2014, the year in sports, preview the wild card round of the NFL playoffs, and touch an array of other sports topics. So until then, enjoy your holiday. We'll see you right back here next time. Check us out, Facebook, Twitter, at War Room Sports, our webcast, warroomsportstv.com, and all of our network shows, wrspn.com. Until next time, everybody, don't accept mediocrity and be steadfast in the war against ignorance. We'll see you chumps on top.
Merry New Year!
Anna, free the doors, man. Free the doors. 6 to 8.
sports. Y'all ready? Let's go. Stay in tune to Jimmy, know the blueprint. Yo, every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dev, PJ, B. Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. If not, dial. Call it 323-14-0012. They be going and you sensitive, then oh well. Yeah. Physical podcast, let's talk sports. Showtime like magic in a box course. Magic. Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip-hop scholars, pit-stop knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G flow. KC royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us. War Room Sports. Yeah. You know? Jimmy. Dev. DJ.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.